We're talking Packers in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. Your predictions wax poetic on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, they host the 49ers Saturday night at Lambeau. Here's Aaron Rodgers reflecting at a press conference earlier this week on, you know, shiny Super Bowl type thingies.
So much of it is focused on the wins and losses, especially in the playoffs, Super Bowl rings and all that stuff. I understand that's part of my legacy. I'll be judged on when I'm done playing. And every year is important.
Audio courtesy of the Green Bay Packers. What do you think of the Pack's chances in their journey this season? 800-642-1234. Pete Doherty is a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network Wisconsin, where he's covered the Packers since 93. Pete, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Kate.
Well, so here we go again. You know, Packers starting their playoff journey at home. Let's rewind just for a moment as a setup. How did they look to you this season? 13 wins, number one seed.
Good. I think, you know, they're a tad better than they were last year. They're not statistically, they're not as good on offense. They had the leading scoring offense in the league last year. And their numbers aren't quite the same, but I think they're about as good. And I think they're a tad better on defense, and probably more than anything, I think they're a little more seasoned. The coach is a young coach who's a year older, a year more experienced. And they maybe learned an important lesson last year that, you know, just because you get home field advantage for the playoffs doesn't mean you get to the Super Bowl. They got beat in the championship game at Lambeau by Tampa Bay. And I suspect that made a strong impression on guys. You know, we won't know till the postseason is over, but I think they're a tad better than last year. That's my impression.
A tad better. You know, I watched the 49ers against the Rams, and I had to say, I was pretty impressed with the 49ers' grit at the end, because LA, they were leading for most of the game. 49ers didn't get on the board till like the second quarter. And it was really in the fourth, like it was a field goal in overtime that decided it. It really makes me wonder whether the Pack will also jump out to a quick lead and what that could spell for the fourth.
Yeah, these games, they're not, you know, they're not over just because you're up 14-0. You got to put the hammer down when you get a team down. The Niners are good. They have a handful of great players, which is what a lot of this game comes down to. They got a couple on defense with Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. You know, Bosa's a pass rusher, Warner inside linebacker. That Debo Samuel, I don't know if you, you know, you saw the receiver running back. I mean, that guy is a stud. He is really, really good. So they've got plenty of big time talent. And I think they match up okay with the Packers because they run the ball well. That's their thing, is Kyle Shanahan's zone running scheme, and everything's based off that. And the Packers were really up and down defending the run. At times, their edge guys were really good at holding the edge and stopping the run, especially in the first half of the season. They did well against the 49ers. They played in week three, but Packers really had some issues with that later in the season. The Cleveland game really jumps out, and the 49ers have different backs now. This Elijah Mitchell is their starter now, and the way they're using Samuel, he's basically their number two, because he was hardly a factor in the running game in that first one. So they're going to attack the Packers' edges in the run game. And to a large degree, I think, you know, that's one area where the winner of this game is going to be determined.
Do you think the Packers defense can take advantage of turnover opportunities in the game, this game? What will turnovers really look like here, do you think?
Yeah, they're big, and you know, Garoppolo is, he's a decent quarterback and he's has his moments, but
I like
as he
that.
Does against
that's a very fair description.
And as he, you know, as you saw in the, you know, in the game last week, I mean, they had that game kind of won in the fourth quarter. And he that big interception, and you know, that got the Cowboys right back into it. So the thing he'll do is a couple times a game he'll make a bad decision, you know, get hurried into a bad decision. He threw an interception the first time these teams played. So yeah, it's probably going to be important. You know, Rodgers doesn't turn it over,
So if they turn over Garoppolo once or twice, that would be huge. I mean, the NFL stats are overwhelming. If you win the turnover battle, you know, your chances of winning the game are really high. Like in the, you know, even if you win by one turnover, I think it's in the 70% somewhere in there.
Well, maybe Garoppolo would tell you, you know, we are human. We are mortals after all, Pete.
We are. And some of us are more mortal.
Oh, dear. I don't know if you're going to go there. We're talking with Pete Doherty, Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette, USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Covered the Packers for decades. You can join in on your prediction Saturday night, 800-642-1234. We've got to talk field goal kicker Mason Crosby. Missed 3 field goals against the Bengals in Week 5. He's hit 18 of the 27 field goal attempts this year. What's going on there?
Well, probably a couple things. One, they changed long snapper. The operation, the snap, hold, kick operation has gotten to be this really scientific, detailed process in the NFL. And when anything goes wrong now, these guys will miss kicks. And they changed the long snapper in the middle of the season. And that's when the misses started. They have a new punter this year. And the rap on this guy was that he wasn't a very good holder at his other stops. So I think it took a while to get that operation down, you know, once the downturn hit in the Bengals game. And, you know, Crosby's, I think he's 37. You know, that's getting up there. And kickers last longer than other guys, but that's still getting pretty old. And so maybe, you know, age is becoming a little bit of an issue for him too. He has kicked a lot better in the last, the operation's been a lot better in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks, but he did miss, I think he missed an extra point against Detroit. So, you know, if you're looking for things to worry about, you know, you could worry about that.
Well, I worry about kicking in the cold. It's hard to kick in the cold.
It is. The ball's hard. It doesn't go as far. One of the things is, you know, with the age is, you know, his kickoffs aren't as deep now. And with how bad their special teams coverage units have been through most of the season, I'm sure they're, you know, they'd much prefer just kicking the ball into the end zone and giving it up at the 25 for a touchback. But I would think, especially if it's going to be, you know, under 10 degrees, Crosby will probably have a tough time getting at the end zone. I'm not saying he won't be able to, but it's going to be a little tougher. So they might be, you know, prone to giving up a longer kickoff return. In fact, I just rewatched the first game against San Francisco, and the Packers were dominating the first quarter and a half or first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Up, like, I don't know, a 60 or 70 yard kickoff return. And that led to a touchdown for the Niners at the end of the half. And that basically kept the Niners in the game.
So, you know, it's always fun with Lambeau because you have the elements, and it's almost like this old side game when you talk about weather in the mix. What impact will these really frigid temperatures have on this game and with the 49ers in town?
Yeah, it depends on just how frigid it gets. It was for other purposes, I just happened to talk to Brett Favre last week, and he was saying that when it gets just bitter, bitter cold, really, even then, the bigger problem is the wind, because you just can't control the ball. So if you think back to the 2000 championship game, that was fairly windy. They played the Bears in even a colder game earlier that year. And Favre said and the wind was whipping. He said you just couldn't even throw the ball at all. Rodgers has said the same thing. Rodgers kind of says the cutoff is at about 10 degrees. If it's 10 degrees or warmer, the ball handling really isn't that big a problem, but when it gets below 10, the ball gets slicker and a little tougher to throw. So that's probably something to look for. Is the two things to look for is it below 10 and how much below 10 it is, and then how windy it is.
And that wind chill factor too, because that wind chill factor can really have an impact as well. You know, we didn't really talk too much about who's healthy, who's not, but what does the offensive line configuration look like? Is it healthy? And what will LaFleur, what will his approach be there in terms of who he puts in and who's healthy?
So, we don't know for sure. During training camp, practice is open, the whole practice, and everything is available for the public, for reporters to report. In the regular season, practice is only open for, they do individual drills for a while. Once they do 11 on 11, reporters are kicked out. So you don't see who they're lining up. Bakhtiari did not practice because the game's on Saturday. They practice Tuesday. He did not practice Tuesday, but they did the same thing the week before the Lions game. They give him a load management day off because of that, you know, as he's coming back from this knee injury. He was limited yesterday, which means he took part in anywhere from one team snap to all but one. So it's a, such a huge range. We really don't know, but he did not practice full time. My guess is, you know, with the way he played better than you would have thought against Detroit in 27 snaps, my guess is, unless something has cropped up, he's going to be their left tackle. Billy Turner's been out for a few weeks, the knee injury. Sounds like he's back. I'm guessing he'll be the right tackle. Myers, their rookie center, Josh Myers, just came back against Detroit. I think he's going to be the center. So they're going to have three guys who one has basically not played all year. Myers has been out since, I'm thinking, mid-October maybe, and Turner for a month. So they're good players, but they've missed some time. So that is, you know, that's a question, is how's the timing and communication going to be? And with Bakhtiari, how sharp is he going to be, and how's his conditioning over, you know, 60 or 65 snaps going to be? But my guess is that will be their starting offensive line. And that would be the first time all those guys have played together all year.
Wow. Pete Doherty with us, sports columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette, USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Do you think this could be Rodgers' last season with the Pack? If the Packers make it to the Super Bowl, I know, don't look ahead. What team do you want to see them play? How are you feeling about the 49ers at this point? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Pete Doherty here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Packers taking on the 49ers in the divisional playoff game at Lambeau Saturday night. Are you there? This is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What are your expectations for Rodgers? How do the Packers look to you? Seriously, how do they look? Are you worried about COVID spread in Brown County due to the game? Join in 800-642-1234. Green Bay Press Gazette Packers columnist Pete Doherty with us for about 10 more minutes. So, Pete, well, according to the Green Bay Press Gazette, a paper you might know of, neither Packers nor Brown County Public Health have said whether games at Lambeau have been COVID spreader events this season. What about Omicron in Lambeau? How do you imagine the fans will conduct themselves?
I think they will conduct themselves as they always do, which means they'll spend a few hours before the game having a lot of fun. And they'll be at full throat during the game. I haven't researched this to death. It does seem like, from the evidence that's out there, that, you know, if you're outdoors, the spreading of the coronavirus is much, much, much more limited than if you're indoors. I haven't seen anything about any NFL game where that's looked like a super spreader event. So, you know, I don't think there's any anticipation that there's going to be a big problem there.
Well, do you know anything of Packers management trying to ensure that players are safe and don't become ineligible to play due to a COVID infection?
Yeah, I think they've gone to advanced protocols. You know, I think everybody's masking up in the building, like in their meetings, they're distancing. You know, the one thing with the way that the coronavirus spread so widely through a lot of teams, through the whole league, kind of from the middle and later portions of the season, you know, a lot of guys are, you know, you're not completely immunized if you get it, but, you know, there's a lot of protection there once you get it. And so a lot of guys are protected by that. And, you know, a fair amount of them, you know, I think the number is 95%. Were vaccinated. Now I suspect that number is lower and that there were more Antonio Browns out there. Hmm. You know, there's a handful on each team who got fake vaccination cards. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that were the case. But so it's still a large percentage of guys got it. And a lot of guys have gotten boosted. So,
the one, I guess, if you want to say positive thing about the big run of Corona, of the Omicron variant, is so many people on all these teams got it that probably there are fewer guys who are susceptible to catching it, you know, over the next month because they already had it.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, Rodgers violates the NFL's COVID protocols. Fine. He was irked about having to be masked at press conferences as an unvaccinated player. Does he have the same clout among fans, you know, with those COVID tensions going on and as they think about who will be season MVP?
You know, as far as fans go, you know, I think it just depends on the person. I think he lost some fans for sure for not being upfront about not being vaccinated. I don't know if that's a temporary loss or if they'll, you know, stay mad at him. I think winning a Super Bowl will probably soften at least some of those people. The MVP voters, that's done. The official MVP is done by the Associated Press. There are 50 voters. It's all media, one in each market, and then 18 NFL market, and then 18 at-large voters. They also voted for the All-Pro team.
Mm-hmm.
Rob won the quarterback, first-team All-Pro. I think he had 34 votes, and Brady had 16. That's a pretty strong sign that Rodgers is going to win the MVP. I would be looking at those numbers, I'd be stunned if he does not win the MVP.
Well, in all this Rodgers talk, let's go to Doug now in Green Bay. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Pete. I don't know what that feeling is. Since this, I'm a big sports fan. I'm watching all these talk shows. And it seems like Rodgers likes to have all this conversation around him as to what he's doing next year. I feel like he could have squashed it by now by saying, you know. So what do you feel? Like, is he going to come back or not? Or would the Packers hold him back?
Okay, so Rodgers chatter, will he come back or not? What is the future?
Yeah, that is a really big question. And, you know, there's no knowing. I think in part a lot depends on how the season finishes out. And even how it finishes out could cut both ways. If it ends early, is he going to decide it's not happening here and want to move on? Are the Packers going to decide it's not happening here and they might as well trade him and get what they can for him if they win the Super Bowl? Or, you know, is Rodgers going to feel like he's fulfilled his obligations, and if he wants to move on, to ask to move on? Maybe it's easier for the Packers to trade him if they win the Super Bowl, because they could say, well, we got the championship, now let's get what we can for him. So it's really tough to know. But the strongest thing that, I mean, I feel comfortable saying is when training camp started, I would have put the odds at least 90 to 10 that he's gone. Hmm. It just looked like there was minimal chance that he was going to be back. And then he shows up on time. That diffused things a lot. He didn't miss any practice. Things seemed completely normal from the start of training camp and going to all the practices. And with the way things have gone, you know, he seems to have, he's really softened. Yeah, he's praised the front office for hearing him out on personnel issues, for the moves they've made. Brian Gutekunst by name, he's praised, who he had the problem with. I would say the odds of him coming back have improved dramatically. 50-50, maybe a little better, but there's still so much depends on how the season finishes out, and we don't know what he's really thinking deep down. Last year, I would never have guessed that he was as upset as he was with how he conducted himself in Zoom press conferences. He seemed really mellow and zen, and it turns out he was harboring some real resentment against the organization. So we don't know how he really feels, but I would say it's probably at least 50-50 he's back, but, you know, these things will be determined, you know, in February sometime probably.
Doug, it's a coin toss. How does that work for you? Doug, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. You hear me?
Yep.
I just want to know what the contract issue is. I mean, if the Packers really didn't want to trade him, they could keep him, right? Because he's under contract next year, right? Even though the salary cap number is huge.
Yeah, that's correct. He's got a year left on his contract. Now the salary cap number is huge, and I and it has, he only has the 1 year left, so they could only restructure it with his permission and add years on. So if he doesn't want back, he could just not restructure the contract, and then, you know, their cap issues would be a huge problem. But you are right, he's got a year left, and if they don't want to trade him, they don't have to, and there's really not much he could do about it other than, you know, not show up.
Doug, thanks for the call. We only have a minute or so left. And I want to ask you, circling back to this game on Saturday. So, you know, if you put Rodgers and Garoppolo side by side and you throw down some strengths and weaknesses in each of those areas, what is that head-to-head showdown looking like to you with these quarterbacks?
Obviously it's a really big advantage for the Packers. I was just thinking, you know, as during the commercial break, if you were ranking the 32 quarterbacks, the starters in the league, I mean, Garoppolo's not bad, and the 49ers record with him is way better than without him when he's been hurt. But he probably ranks around somewhere from 12 to 15, I would guess. And Rodgers is top two or three in this quarterback-driven league. So that's the Packers' big edge. It's their edge into almost every game they go into. And it's the main reason why they're, 4.5, 5.5 point favorite for this game.
Well, Pete, always good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me, Kate, anytime.
Pete Doherty is a Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network, Wisconsin, where he's covered the Packers for decades. Just ahead, we'll rediscover forgotten female pioneers of science with the co-founders of the Lost Women of Science Initiative. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.